Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet Today continues here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan on a Calgary Flames game day from the Scotiabank Saddledome, preseason game number 4 for your Calgary Flames after a 3-0 loss to the Seattle Kraken last night. This is Sportsnet Today. I'm Logan Gordon. He's Patrick Dumas. Our kids sport auction for the luxury suite up in McMahon Stadium for the game on the weekend, Saturday, against the Toronto Argonauts. This is currently bid at $1,500 from Matt. So thank you to Matt for putting that out there. Appreciate that. If you can beat Matt's bid for the Stampeders suite on Saturday, all in support of Kidsport Calgary, then you can go ahead and give us a call at 403-240-4444. We've checked in on the Edmonton Oilers this morning, the Flames' opponent for their next two preseason games. But how about a check-in on the Calgary Flames? To do so, we go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline and check in with our pal from The Athletic, Julian McKenzie, kind enough to give us some time this morning. Julian, good morning, man. How are you?
Doing really well, Logan, Pat. Good to hear from you guys.
Yes, good to hear from you as well, man. Last time I talked to you, you were just getting settled and getting ready to come into town. Me and Pat had chatted with you last time. How's the transition to Calgary been the last couple weeks?
It's been pretty good, man. I still love the fact that how nice everyone is in Calgary. Like, it's one of those places where you walk around and people actually will, like, say hello to you. Even, like, construction people. I'm used to seeing construction workers all over Montreal because Lord knows there's construction everywhere and they just kind of go about their business. But yeah, a little bit of construction I've seen around the Saddledome, everyone's been pretty nice about it. But seriously, the city's really great. The fans have been really, really nice to me since I started writing for The Athletic here. And I'm really happy about this opportunity. I'm looking forward to providing more content when I can.
Love it, man. Really glad that you're here and on the beat. Enjoyed your coverage so far and thought it was a good time to bring you on and chat some Calgary Flames hockey ahead of their game with the Oilers tonight. I guess just give me some of your initial impressions of Calgary Flames training camp that you've seen under year two of Daryl Sutter here.
Just seeing a lot of guys, some guys obviously know the Daryl Sutter way, whether it's from playing with him last year or guys like Tyler Toffoli who have played with him in different spots, but there's no shortage of talent, whether you're looking at the guys up front, like a guy like Jonathan Huberdeau, who I think even if he's a guy who is still trying to get chemistry with players like Elias Lindholm and Tyler Toffoli, if that ends up really being that top line throughout camp and into the regular season, his size, his scoring and skill ability, like the way he's able to impose himself and also just try to establish himself as a primary player in that leadership core. Like, that's definitely one thing that has stood out to me. And I know guys like Nazem Kadri and Chris Tanev are trying to ease themselves back in, gotten some looks at Dustin Wolf as well in training camp. And I can understand, even though he's some people might see him as a guy who's undersized, I see why a lot of people rate him as much as they do. I think he has what it takes to at least be a good goalie at the pro level. We know his time is not necessarily yet, but he's shown some good intangibles. There's a lot to like, I think, about the Calgary Flames. It's just because it's preseason and because of the lineups that we're seeing, it's kind of hard for me to say, like, oh man, like in preseason against these teams, they look like a really good team that should be able to manhandle the Vancouver Canucks all year, or we'll get a sense of what they'll look like against the Edmonton Oilers. I would assume that the group that's doing morning skate today is probably going to be the team that goes up against the Oilers today, so a lot more NHL regulars. But yeah, it's still really early for us to know what this Flames team is really going to be like. We could still see some kinks are still getting worked through in the first few days, but I still think if you're a Flames fan especially, there's a lot to like about this organization.
Anybody last night stick out to you in that game in Seattle? I know, again, to your point that you just mentioned, it's hard to sometimes evaluate groups when there's minimal NHLers. What is the other team bringing to the ice? But it was an interesting mix that was sent to Seattle last night. And I think, you know, based on what Daryl said post-game, it sure seemed like Dan Vladar was the standout from his point of view. But was there anybody that caught your eye one way or the other last night in Seattle, Julian?
What's funny about it is the way the lineup was set yesterday. Yes, there aren't a lot of NHLers in that lineup, but a lot of guys in that lineup are on the bubble and are fighting for chances to be NHL guys. And I thought it was really interesting that Daryl Sutter said, well, there was a, you know, it was still pretty much a game where he learned a lot about some of his players who played that day, because, and well, there's a reason why he's a head coach and why I'm sitting here talking to you guys, because I really didn't think the Flames played all that well throughout the course of that game. And he's right, absolutely, Daryl Sutter, about the fact that they lacked some finishing, but I think the fact that their power play just wasn't as effective as they would have liked. It took them a little while before they really got going, but that really hurt them in the early stages of the game, especially on the one instance where it led to a Jaden Schwartz play. But in terms of players who stood out to me, I know I'm going to have a column coming out very soon from The Athletic about all these different players who are on the bubble and how they did and how they didn't do. Matthew Phillips is a guy I think who stood out for me yesterday. Even though he's undersized, he's a guy who showed a lot of effort and he got himself some scoring chances. I think he led all Flames players in blocked shots. And I get that stat, you know, if you're in a position where you're blocking shots, that's not necessarily the best thing, but really interesting for a forward to be put in that position. Sonny Milano, I think he had a better game than his last one. He tried to put himself in opportunities to score goals. He had himself some opportunities on the power play as well. I think he played about 7 minutes on the power play. The Flames got a lot of chances with the man advantage. Those two in particular, for sure, Adam Rzycza, getting opportunities to play at center and at the wing. And Daryl Sutter even mentioned, well, hey, we're trying to find, basically saying that, you know, they may need to find another avenue for him to play in the lineup that isn't at center. Connor Mackey, I think, was the best defenseman, I think, for the Flames as well, just imposing himself. He had like one little mistake in the first period, but I think for the most part, he was pretty sound. And Connor's aerial, give a shout out to him, because I don't know if you guys feel the same. Maybe you saw it from last training camp as well. He's due for like one instance every game where he just is feeling himself, tries to slip through the defense, makes this seamless zone entry, maybe gets a shot on goal. And we get to see that little bit of wow factor from this player, even though he's definitely not 6 feet, but this is a guy who is capable of handling the puck, showing off some skill, and just maybe not necessarily be the most flashy player, but he's definitely someone I think you would want in the lineup. Also, funny enough, I said he's not 6 feet. He's a dead on 6 feet. So that's my bad on Connor's area, but I think he's also a player worth looking at. My bad, guys.
No, yeah, pretty damn close if you weren't right on it. So, yeah, there is an interesting one, because going back to last year, there was a lot of excitement bringing him into camp, and then he suffered a pretty serious injury during camp, didn't get into any action pretty much with the group. And so he was one of the guys that we've talked about a lot here heading into this training camp, was the opportunity, you know, given the depth that this team has at center, all of a sudden he's obviously likely not fighting for a job on the NHL team, but for him to still be able to go out and impress and, you know, leave a good mark on the organization in training camp, still important. And I think there's a couple of those guys in training camp, Julian, that I'm sure you would agree are kind of in that same spot where, given where the organization is at this season and given the expectation, it's hard for some of these younger guys to go out and say that they're going to grab an NHL job, but that doesn't mean that the training camp isn't important to them in their future.
100%. And I even think that even if you're not in a position where you're able to grab an opening day spot, I think if you're able to look at it from a standpoint where if you impress enough, if it comes time for the organization to say, hey, we need someone from the Wranglers to step up for us, you can be thought of as maybe the literal next man up. And I think a guy like Connor Zary has done a lot of work to put himself in that position. And even if he doesn't necessarily come up as a center, I think Connor Zary has shown with the quickness that he has, he is more than capable of being put on the wing for oncoming rush, to join the rush and create some scoring chances. So I think for a guy like Connor Zary, he's in a good spot. One guy I have to mention who I think should also be considered for something like this, but he said himself yesterday, he knows he can show more, and he's been trying to show more since rookie camp, and that's Jacob Pelletier. Like, I really, like, just looking at his stats from last year and the scoring touch that he showed, and even yesterday, he was able to do some good things defensively. I still think he needs to show something offensively to really make that job hard for Flames management. And maybe it's because of the fact that heading into camp, there before all the PTOs and stuff, I generally thought there was a real chance that he could make the lineup out of camp. And I think if there was like one young guy that the Flames would have to plug in, it would likely be him. And since all the PTOs and the free agents to have been signed since that camp with Brett Ritchie and the PTOs to Eakin and Sonny Milano, and with some of the play of guys like Connor Zeri, it's made it a little difficult for a player like Jakob to truly crack that lineup. It seems as if the Flames probably are going to lean towards someone with more NHL experience on that bottom six, among their bottom six forwards. And I think for Peltier, I don't want to say the cards are stacked against him, but I think just the path is really hard for him. And I don't necessarily think that on an offensive side anyway, he has shown enough to make that decision hard for Flames management.
We're chatting with Julian McKenzie. He writes for the Athletic, covering the Calgary Flames here. They play tonight against the Edmonton Oilers at the Scotiabank Saddledome, preseason game number 4. I'm Logan Gordon, joined this morning by Patrick Dumas. Patrick?
Julian, there's a couple open spots on this team right now with Oliver Shillington not around on the bottom to help out round out the defense. We'll start with there, like Valimaki, Milosh, and Mackey. We assume are going to be the guys that might be fighting for that spot until Shillington is back. Of among those three, who do you like the most, or who's impressed you the most in camp?
Well, I think Mackey might have a slight edge. I'd like to see a little bit more from Nicolas Milosh, who, I mean, he's played at least over 50 NHL games. Yusuf Valimaki obviously has also gotten time in the NHL as well. One thing with Valimaki, though, I don't know if you guys felt yesterday he was really at fault on that one goal.
No.
Just with his positioning.
Yeah.
It's kind of tough, and I think a lot of people were quick to jump on him for that. Look, his positioning may not have been the most ideal, but, I mean, he didn't commit the turnover in the offensive zone. Yeah. I don't know. I just get the sense that a lot of people are just kind of hard on him just from outside the organization. And I think he might need a little bit of grace on that. But that being said, I'll say this. I don't necessarily think he impressed all that much beyond that play to get people to not think about it. So I think it's still early in that process. And I don't feel as if anyone has really jumped up and said, hey, why not pick any of those three? I also would, even though this guy's probably going to start with the Wranglers, this coming year, Jérémy Poirier deserves a bit of a shout out as well. I know Daryl Sutter said that he has to work on a lot of things with angles and stick work and a lot of the defensive side, but I still think it's really intriguing that they've put him with the regular group, and they gave him a lot of power play time. They gave him a decent amount of power play time against Vancouver over the weekend, and he's still with that first group today ahead of morning skate. So we were talking earlier about who could be about the fact that, you know, yes, there aren't too many spots up front and maybe on defense in terms of who can grab a spot on the opening day, but maybe you're putting yourself in a position to get called up.
Yeah.
Jérémy Poirier, depending on how he plays with the Wranglers as well, could also put himself in that position. And I think whatever impressions he puts on in camp as well could also play into that.
And then there's the spot on the wing in the top nine there. Like we've talked about it. You mentioned Jake Pelche as an option, and he might not get enough runway here just yet. But there are the guys on the PTOs. There's guys with NHL experience in Sonny Milano. We assume it will be a Milano, but then there's Cody Eakin. And then an interesting is, like, I like Ruzicka on the wing. We know this guy isn't this guy is a big guy, but he's not that fourth line, you know, grind it out type guy. He has some skill. And Sutter has said in the past that his best fit is not in that bottom line, but it is in the top nine. Is Adam Ruzicka maybe even a possibility to play in that top nine?
Well, I think the fact that they're putting him on the wing and the fact that, you're right, Daryl Sutter has said that in the past, and even yesterday he straight up said, you know, hey, is his future in the NHL going to be at center? The Flames are very much into giving him an opportunity to see if he could crack it that way. Look, I remember talking with a former AHL coach a while ago saying, if you put yourself in a position where you open yourself up to so many jobs and you don't label yourself or just fixate yourself on just being this one position, you open a lot of doors for yourself at the pro level. And I think if the Flames, they seem to be very interested in him, and or at least interested in his development. And I mean, that's a big reason why they ended up signing him in the offseason. But I think, I can understand why they would want to make that work. But of course, a guy like Sonny Milano, who is just a natural winger, scored 14 goals last year, trying to be productive offensively. There's a reason why he's in camp and why they're giving him that focus as well. I'm curious about if Cody Eakin truly gets that chance to stick around too. He might not necessarily be that ideal fit on the, like, third line wing spot, but I don't know. He won some faceoffs yesterday.
Yeah.
He got some PK time. I don't think he was necessarily all that impressive beyond that, but that's someone who I think in camp has at least tried to impose himself and just make himself friendly with the leadership core here too.
We talk about last year, you know, Jacob Markstrom got a lot of games and whatnot, and we saw kind of maybe in the end of the year, like, was he too tired? Was there something going on at the end of that Oilers series? Now, Dan Vladar has played admirably, really well in his first two preseason games. What is an ideal number of games you think that Markstrom and Vladar could go that with this year? I know Sutter's a guy that he likes his guy, the number one, he's going to play a lot, but is there a chance that we see Vladar maybe even get to the 20-game mark this year?
I guess it depends on how Jacob Markstrom's feeling.
Yeah.
It seems like last year he played 63. He's had years where he's played 43, but he's also had 60 before. It really depends on how he feels and how he goes about this season, really. But Dan Vladar has shown, at least in preseason, that if they need him to answer the bell, he'll be able to do it. And I think if you're in a position where you're trying to just make the playoffs, they've made that the number one goal throughout training camp, and you don't want Markstrom to be tired. I mean, I don't know if bringing Jacob Markstrom down to what, a 55 makes more sense, but I personally just think that if Markstrom is comfortable still being at the 60 game mark and you're having him play a lot, I don't necessarily think you should break that.
Just a couple more for you, Julian, on a Calgary Flames game day tonight against the Edmonton Oilers. It's going to be a very NHL-heavy lineup tonight, it looks like, against the Oilers at home. It looks like we could see the debut of Nazem Kadri in Flames silks. Practice mostly on a line with Andrew Mangiapane, who we might also see for the first time in a preseason look for the Calgary Flames. What do you make of that potential forward pairing? I know who plays on the wing is still sort of up in the air for this group, but what do you look like? What do you look at when you see Kadri and Mangiapane as a potential, you know, pairing up front, I guess, if you will, for the Flames, Julian?
Potentially how annoying it will probably be for opposing players yeah. to play against those guys. We know how it is with people play against Nazem Kadri, and Andre Mangiapane has established himself as a really good two-way player. I think there's a lot that could come from that line, and I really think that the Flames are better off doing that as opposed to putting Andrew Mangiapane on the top line with Huberto and Lindholm. I just feel like there would be a little bit of an imbalance if they kind of flipped it that way. So having Kadri and Mangiapane together, if we get to see them play later today against Edmonton, we'll really get to see them in NHL action. We'll really get to see how they can really combine. But just off of the rushes I remember seeing them go through, they looked pretty good. They looked really particularly quick. They got some chances off. It could be good, but it's still really early. I know Kadri has just been a situation where he's, you know, still easing himself in, and still he's probably not going to play that much in preseason. I think Mangiapane, you know, back after that lower body tweak, it's still a bit of time, and just with everyone else, everyone's still trying to establish chemistry, obviously. But I think that pairing on as a top six line, that looks pretty good if they want to balance out things with the top six.
When you talk about pairings on the defensive side of things, I think one of the biggest storylines coming into this training camp, Julian, was what we were going to see from Mackenzie Weegar and where he might fit. I mean, you look at the change on defense from last year, it simply becomes Gudbranson out, Weegar in. All due respect to the latter and Eric Gudbranson, he fit nicely on a third pair there with Nikita Zadorov, but I think Mackenzie Weegar brings a bit more versatility to this lineup. What have you made of Mackenzie Weegar so far in training camp, what you've seen from him, and where do you sort of see him fitting in this group when it comes to the Flames' top six?
If we're going to go Gudbranson for Weegar, I think we can all agree that's an upgrade, right? That's that he's
yes.
more dynamic yep. offensively. He's able to skate. I think he's fit just fine playing alongside Chris Tanev. I think he's even gotten shifts with Rasmus Anderson as well. And I think he's played both on the left and the right. This is a guy who, the fact that the Flames have him as a guy who can go on either side of the defense, that's a guy who's going to prove to be very useful as the season goes on, especially if he's able to continue to take in all those minutes playing through all those games. So I think, I mean, it's funny. We look at the Flames, we look at that trade. Everyone's going to look at, you know, Jonathan Huberdeau and Matthew Tkachuk and all that. We don't forget about Mackenzie Weegar. And if he ends up being you know, solid with the Calgary Flames. I mean, that goes a long way towards the Flames winning this trade. All those pieces for one player, and the fact that they were able to get a guy who makes their defense better. I mean, between him and Tanev and Noah Hanifin and Rasmus Anderson and on Shillington when he comes back, like, that's a pretty good defense core, not just in the division, but I think you start to look at how they stack up against other teams in the league. Maybe not Colorado, but there are a lot of teams I think that defense core is just as good as, if not better than, and that is because of the inclusion of Mackenzie Weegar.
Julian, really appreciate the time, man. Looking forward to meeting you when I get down to the Saddle Dome after these morning shifts are over for me. Enjoy the game tonight, man. We'll check in with you later.
Sounds like a plan.
Thanks a lot, Julian.
Good to hear from you guys, and we'll talk soon.
Take care. Julian McKenzie from The Athletic, who covers the Calgary Flames, kind enough to give us some time this morning on a Calgary Flames game day. If you want to follow Julian and his reporting for the Flames this season, you can do so on Twitter at JKA McKenzie, no A in McKenzie. He's new on the beat, taking over from Haley Salvian.
Mm-hmm.
Excited to have Julian and his hockey experience in the city. You know, a lot of people have been excited and looking forward to some of the stuff that he's going to put out on the Calgary Flames. And appreciate him joining us here down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. We got one more segment to go before the show is over today. And we got to continue to pump out this auction that we're doing today for a luxury suite at McMahon Stadium for the Stampeders and the Toronto Argonauts tonight. Or not tonight, Saturday, excuse me. The auction is today and ends tonight just before Calgary Flames pregame. And if you've missed it, here's what we're doing. This is in support of the Eric Francis Pizza Pigout and Kids Sport Calgary. All of the proceeds going to go to Kids Sport in this. And what we're doing, a 16-seat suite for the Stampeders and the Argos on Saturday night at 5 o'clock. So you got 16 seats in there. We're going to give you 4 parking passes, some light food included, some chicken wings, some popcorn, nachos, that kind of stuff. You got a private bathroom for you, some drink service for you as well if you'd like to indulge in some of that. All you got to do is give us a call at 403-240-4444. Alex, our producer, is waiting anxiously by the phone. He's been on top of this all morning long. Alex, if you're by the microphone there, give our listeners the latest. Where do we sit at our current number for the auction in support of the Eric Francis Pizza Pigout and Kids Sport?
So currently we sit at $1,500 from
Hell
Max.
Yeah.
And we just got a call, so I'm going to hop off the mic here.
I appreciate that. Yeah, good for you. Good. Head over 403-240-4444. If you can beat Matt's bid of $1,500, make sure to give Alex a call. Once again, the number to call us at 403-240-4444. All of this is to help our friends at Kidsport Calgary and the great work that they do in and around our community. Again, suite on the 50-yard line for Saturday's game, 16 seats, 4 parking passes, some light food included, private bathroom. What a better way to spend a Saturday night than at McMahon Stadium with the Stampeders hosting the Toronto Argonauts. The auction ends tonight before Flames pregame starts at 6. So the auction only running during Sportsnet today, which ends here at 9, and then during Flames Talk this afternoon with Pat. Those are your only times that you're going to be able to give us a call and get your bids in. So if you're on the fence, make sure to give us a call now so we can get your information down and get your bid in before the morning is over. We'll take a break, come back on the other side. Final segment of the program. We'll try to get more calls in for this auction, see if we can bump that bid over $1,500. We'll also do another edition of What You Want to Talk About on a Calgary Flames game day here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Calgary traffic update.
Got a crash in the northwest. 2-vehicle incident on Crowchild Trail southbound approaching 24th Avenue. The vehicles are up on the grassy right-hand shoulder, but still make a distraction, so pay attention on a very slow-moving southbound Crowchild Trail. In fact, we're pretty slow from beyond Sheck.
Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers take over your airwaves. At 4 o'clock, they'll take you till 6, where Pat has your Flames Talk pregame show against the Edmonton, ahead of the game against the Edmonton Oilers at 7 o'clock tonight. That means Derek Wills and Peter Labardius are in the booth, the Peter Maher radio booth, in the Scotiabank Saddledome for tonight's matchup. And then, of course, your Flames Talk postgame show hosted by the one and only Pat Steinberg. That's coming up on the programs today across Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Also, the auction for Kidsport Calgary and the Eric Francis Pizza Pigout continues. Right now until 9 o'clock, we can take bids. If you're interested in this package for the luxury suite on Saturday at McMahon Stadium, Argos Stampeders, we can take bids during Sportsnet today here up until 9 o'clock, and the next time to get your bids in will be at 4 o'clock with Pat all the way up until 6 with Flames pregame. What you get in this package, 16 seats in the suite. Rhett's right on the 50-yard line, Patrick, on the east side. Perfect spot to watch the Argos and the Stamps in a huge matchup on Saturday.
Yeah, I know this is a good package, obviously helping out a great cause and whatnot, and hopefully gets hit that number up a little bit more here before before the end of the day, before we get into the Flames Oilers.
So we got the 16 seats in the suite, private bathroom, and drink service if you would like to indulge. You don't have to go down to the concourse. You'd be right there, right off the suite. You can go.
In and out, probably quick, easy out.
Four parking passes, so you can get everybody to the parking lot around McMahon Stadium. Get there all together. Some light food included for you, some food, some nachos, popcorn, chicken wings, all that good stuff. And the best part is, of course, it's in support of our pals at Kidsport Calgary and the Eric Francis Pizza Pigout. And that's really what it's about for us here, is making sure that Kidsport has the funding they need to continue their great work in and around the city. If you're not familiar with Kidsport, they're really the charity of choice that we promote here on Sportsnet 960. It goes hand in hand with what we do. Kevin Webster and the group at Kidsport do tremendous work making sure that kids that need access to sport have access to sport. If you want to play ringette, you want to play hockey, football, soccer, whatever it is, parents know registration fees, equipment fees, all that kind of stuff is incredibly expensive on top of a world that's already incredibly expensive, Patrick. And Kidsport makes sure that if someone wants to play sports, if a kid wants to get involved in sport, they're going to do that. They'll help you out with whatever the process is. They don't say no to anybody. To any sport, they will figure it out for you. So the current bid right now, $1,500 on this package, valued at over $5,000. Matt holds the high bid of $1,500. If you can beat Matt's bid of $1,500, give us a call, 403-240-4444. One more time. If you can beat Matt's bid for this package on Saturday, call us at 403-240-4444. I would love to see this thing bust through 2,500, 3,000. This is one of those things where it's a great package and it's worth every penny, but the where the money's going, Patrick, goes a lot further than that. Yep. And I want to just, you know, stress how important it is for, you know, kids sport to continue the work that they're doing. And I'm sure people listening now understand how difficult it is to pay bills and to buy groceries and everything else. And then you don't want to say no to your son or daughter about playing sport, but hockey equipment's expensive. Mm-hmm. Football equipment is expensive. Everything is expensive. Registration fee is expensive.
Yeah.
Kids sport needs some support to continue to do what they do. Demand only increases for them this time of year as kids are heading back to school and getting involved in those sort of after school programs. So make sure that if you're able to reach that, beat Matt's current bid of $1,500, one more time, the phone number 403-240-4444. Our Alex on the other side will take your phone call. Alex, how's it been answering phones? Got a couple bids already this morning. You were very concerned about this. This is your first time doing one of our on-air auctions.
Yeah, well, so I have a bit of a love-hate relationship with the phone here, but it's been fun, you know, talking to listeners here in the bidders. Couple calls that dropped right away, so I don't know if they're having technical difficulties or
cold feet.
Yeah, I don't know, but I'm excited. Come say hi to me. It'll be fun. and you'll get a great package.
So. There you go. That's a fantastic sell job. Well done, Alex.
Thank you.
Very well done. Yeah. If you want to chat to Alex, you can go ahead and give him a call there and do that. Last night, Blue Jays fall to I know we're gonna get to what you want to talk about in a second here. I wanted to ask you about this because the one thing about baseball that gets me every year, and maybe I'm an old man yelling at clouds with this, I cannot stand the champagne showers and the partying for winning a division title in baseball. I can't stand it. The wild card team does it. You win the ALDS and they do it. You win the ALCS and they do
Every time it's a celebration.
I can't stand it.
Yeah.
They said it yesterday on the broadcast and Dan Schoen, you know, oh, they've got the champagne on ice and they're ready to go. So what? Who cares that you won the you want to talk about all
3 months you've been it's been like this. You should have had this.
You could have popped champagne back in
felt like it
July for all I care. I can't stand it. It's the one tradition I can't get behind. I love the Stanley Cup victory, the Super Bowl victory, and to me, that's when you deserve to celebrate. You're on top of the mountain, and that's when you should. I'm not saying a division title is meaningless. I'm certainly not, but to have the same sort of celebration and routine that comes along with winning a championship for winning a division. I can't get behind it.
It's the only sport where you really see that. And it used to be meaning a lot more now with the baseball, the playoff expansion. It's like, okay, well, there's not so much emphasis on the division. I get it. You get the home playoff games. And in the Yankees case, they get a bye where they would play one of the wild card teams. But yeah, I get it. It's just, it doesn't make much sense with the whole celebration after division wins and, you win the NLDS, ALDS. I get it. Maybe after the LCSs, you're going to the World Series. Now you get it.
Well, and see, in this texter at 960-960, the fan feedback line, always open to you, and we'll get to what you want to talk about coming up in just a second here. It says, the MLB season's long. It's good to celebrate something.
Yeah,
I appreciate that, and I understand that celebrating is important, and it is an achievement. But for me, it's the level of celebration, like covering the entire locker room in plastic and popping off champagne. To me, that just doesn't correlate to the achievement.
Yeah,
that to me, I reserve for championships, not for a division title. That's just my opinion, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I mean, we all these teams battle to win a championship at the end of the year, and the end goal isn't to win the division, but I get to the texter's point. In baseball, it is a long season where you're going to suffer a lot of ups and suffer a lot of ups. You're going to go through a lot of ups and suffer a lot of downs. So getting the energy out, celebrating, popping the champagne. Yeah, I get it. This is the only sport where it happens, where you celebrate individually. I also hate it when the NHL teams, I think it was the Predators, had a Central Division champion banner. I'm not a fan of those.
Yeah, the Predators have been
criticized banners
for the over bannering.
Yeah, like there was times I guess division you can put them up after the year there's one banner I'm missing that the Predators did that was just kind of stupid. I don't know what it was. It was something like that, but I just think those things should be reserved for titles and maybe league titles.
I'm not saying don't celebrate.
Yeah,
that's not what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying it can be a bit much sometimes. That's all. That's all I think. And it just to me it seems like a lot to be popping off champagne. And I'm not saying that you can't be happy. And I know some of you are grumpy on the text line about it. I'm not saying you can't be happy about it. I get it. But you don't, are you popping off champagne? I mean, this was you MLB Hall of Famers, which, by the way, no one here is claiming to be an MLBer. This might be the only championship they win. They just won the AL East in 2019. Like, it's their first division title in 20 years. The New York Yankees.
This is their 12th division title since 2000.
They've won 19 of the AL East titles. Most of these guys are still on the team. So yeah. I just, to me, it's just a little much. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying don't celebrate and don't be happy. I think the team picture is great. Baseball is a sport that celebrates a lot, right? The walk-off wins the other day, the Jays were running out on the field and dumping water on each other, and they didn't win anything. They won a game out of 162, right? It was a walk-off, but they didn't win anything. I'm just saying,
it was,
to me, it seems like a lot.
It was in 2015 when the Jays finally got back to the playoffs. So they were in Baltimore. They had to play a day-night doubleheader. They beat Baltimore. This was the Bush party chant for from what's his name? I have drawn a blank here. Anyways, it was the Blue Jays. They celebrated on the field after clinching their first playoff spot in how many years there. So I get it. I understand it. For certain teams, do it. Why not? The Predators banner I was talking about was they had a regular season Western Conference champion banner.
Oh yeah.
After they went to the Cup in 2018.
Yeah.
Or no, that was that was actually the best team in the Western Conference. They put a banner up.
This seems like as good a time as any. Some people are uppity about it, so we'll do it now. It's time for what you want to talk about. Brought to you by our friends at Calgary Lock and Safe. The hunting season gun safe sale is on now. Save up to $600 on Braun EV Series gun safes. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.
Talking about.
.960-960, the fan feedback line, always open to you. And no, I don't hate fun.
Logan hates fun.
I don't hate fun. Just for the record, I don't hate fun. I appreciate the for me, it's a championship. Like, that's what I've always associated the popping champagne and the beer goggles and everything is with winning a championship. Again, I think a division title is great. But I just look at it and I wonder, okay, I prefer to you did that during a championship one. So that's all it is. Again, I'm not trying to dog on the Yankees or anything like that. Every MLB team does it. It's just, for me, I've associated it with championships. That's all.
Another thing.
You can have fun. I'm not saying don't have fun. Don't enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
You've earned it.
Mm-hmm.
I just associate. That's what I've always looked at it as. Is when you're popping bottles and going off, it's when you've won the big one.
Yeah, and while we're on the topic of winning big one, this always gets talked about every time there's a championship or a final is the trophy celebration. How in the NHL, it's the only of the sport of the Big Four where the players get the trophy first. And then, in the NFL, you get the owner getting it first. Baseball, owner gets it first. NBA, I'm pretty sure the Larry O'Brien trophy goes to the owner first. So that's always been one that sticks in a lot of people's craws. The players are the ones out there earning it. And he's like, well, the owners are the owners of the team. They pay the players and all that. Well, I get that. But, they weren't out there for 162 games and 2-3 playoff series or,
Munenari Kawasaki was the
Munenari Kawasaki. I knew, that Bush party.
Bush party.
Yeah, that was 15. And then they won, and then they were like, I swear they probably hung over or drunk or whatever for the night game, and they just got lambasted by the Orioles. But they were in the playoffs, so it didn't really matter.
I've pissed off Yankees fans and apparently people that like fun, because apparently I can't have any. You've pissed off Predators fans, Dumas.
With the Western Conference champion banner?
Yeah, this texter says, have you seen the Flames banner? Smake Division 2004 Western Conference championship banners.
Division's a fine.
You mock Nashville, Patrick.
No, Division, I'm going to read. Division banners, whatever. They had a President's Trophy banner, they had the Central Division banner, and then they had a Western Conference regular season champions banner. Like, you're already the best team in the league. Why do you need to sell you? Oh, we're the best in the West as well.
You hate fun as well.
I guess
that's
so.
That's all it's... coming with. This is, if the Jays would have won the East Division Championship last night, did the same thing.
Probably.
Would your response be the same? I think not. You'd be pumping it up. No, I wouldn't, actually. I don't care who. Again, I said it wasn't a Yankees thing. To me, I wasn't bashing the Yankees. It was just more or less the MLB tradition of big celebrations for things that happen every year.
Wild card wins or
divisional
wins.
And again, yeah. I'm not saying don't have fun. I like fun. Fun is fun. But I think that there's just different levels of it. That's all. Again, not knocking it. I think every MLB team that does it is getting a bit ahead of themselves, but that's just me. This text is perfect. This is exactly how I feel about it. Go ahead and celebrate, but make sure the level of celebration is appropriate to the level of achievement. That's it to me. That's all. And it's simply because I associate championships with that level of celebration.
Like, remember when the Raptors winning the NBA title in 2019? That locker room celebration. That was exactly that's what was the one I can remember with the Raptors. You go into the locker room, the champagne's going on. That's, you know, winning the NBA title. They weren't doing that after beating Philadelphia and Kawhi's buzzer beater in the semis. They weren't, you know, moving on. We got an Eastern Conference final. We got the Bucks next. You know, we still have to keep going. I don't know why you need to keep celebrating after every level of win.
Yeah. Again, you being Debbie Downer, I'm not being. Stop. You get enough of this. Now you're doing what we did with Woodcroft yesterday, and it's just getting worse. Logo hates all sports and everything about America. That's not true. That's just not true. You opened America. A can of worms you didn't expect. Yeah, exactly. I didn't expect it to get like this. I thought more people would be on. There's a couple here. I agree with Logan. Popping champagne is over the top. If you're going to celebrate regular season titles with champagne, you shouldn't be allowed to wear goggles.
Stings.
Can I ask you guys something then?
Sure, go ahead, Alex.
So what are your guys' thoughts on like F1 or just racing drivers popping champagne there you go. When they finish third?
Every time the F1, they get on the podium, everybody's given a big old bottle of Magnum, whatever, and they're just, you're shooting it off after every F1 race.
That's like life-threatening, though.
It's after the race, though.
No, I know, but the achievement, one of those.
Making it through, yeah, I survived a Formula One race, yeah.
Right?
I get that, yeah.
That's an interesting comparison.
If you win
Alex.
The Indianapolis 500, though, you get milk.
No, are they spraying? No, I admit I don't follow F1 as much. So, Alex, you have to tell me this.
Well,
are they spraying the guy? Like, they do they spray the winner? Because that's what I seem to
everybody
think of.
Gets it.
Or they just spray it.
Everybody
in
has like the top three, and then everybody gets sprayed with it.
And like 2 and 3 will like spray the number one guy.
Yeah, more like yeah.
They're all in on it.
And then they all just have a drink after.
Yeah. Like, I've been watching this F1 Drive to Survive series, and I see them celebrating, like, some of these lower-tier teams or mid-table teams. They'll celebrate getting points.
Oh, yeah.
Like, pretty hard. Like, they'll be hugging each other and cheering in the pits for, like, 6th or 7th sometimes. So, I don't know.
I think it's just based on tradition in sport. Baseball has had that tradition for I don't know how long it's been going on, where they've just had the celebration of the division title, the LBS.
Yeah, like
the
I
LCS,
said, it's more
the
a baseball thing than a specific.
Yeah, ain't
Yankees
nobody celebrating
thing for
in
me.
The NHL after you win the. Oh yeah, we're first team. And
yeah,
then,
if that were to happen in the NHL, I think
oh
people
my God.
Would freak out. Like if the Flames won the Pacific this year or last year,
in there
and they were popping off bottles, I think Daryl would lose his mind. Daryl would shove one of those bottles somewhere that
up
you'd never see it again.
Yeah.
Logo hates puppies, birthdays, and babies. That's not true. Entirely
Logo's
not
birthday
true.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, I hate it all.
I hate my birthday.
Logan hates everything about fun and America except the LA Chargers. Yeah, apparently I hate that. MLB has the worst trophy. Same with Copa.
With the flags.
Libertadores. Yeah.
Oh, the Copa Libertadores trophy, whatever the heck it's called. That thing is massive. Just so tall.
Remember the Canucks celebrating like they had won the Stanley Cup when they beat Chicago in the first round?
Oh, Jim Houston, they slayed the dragon! I hated that call.
Pumped.
I hated it so much.
They're probably required to. I bet it's sponsored. I don't know if it is or not. I don't know if there's a champagne.
Official champagne of Major League Baseball.
No, I don't hate fun. Stop it. Can we quickly do what does Jay Woodcroft look like from yesterday? I don't know that anyone asked. No one asked Daryl about that. About that coach's hotness thing or whatever it was. The most handsome coach.
The beauty app.
I know someone asked Boudreaux about it, and he said whoever made the list was probably blind. Even though he finished, I think Bruce Boudreaux was like 16 on that list. He was somewhere.
Mid-table.
Right in the middle. But, yeah, no one's asked Daryl. And, of course, yesterday was already I think we had enough fun at Jay Woodcroft's expense yesterday. It was good. Logo enjoys going to the dentist and paying taxes. No, I don't enjoy any. It's one of those things that just now the text line's got a hold of it, and I can't possibly rein this in. Last time I checked, the goal is to win the World Series, not the division title, so keep the bubbly on ice.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate that text. You touched on it already, but in baseball, it's cultural. Walk-offs, they're throwing ice jugs. Yeah. You don't see that kind of celebration in the NHL with regular season overtime games. Yeah, and look, maybe it is a cultural thing. And I I'm not trying to rail on the Yankees. They won the division fair and square. They've been a great team. They've been a tremendous story, and they're going to be a tough out for anybody in the American League playoffs. It was just more of a comment of I see it every year, and to me, it's not my thing. I appreciate the sports that hold on to it a bit, and like that texter says, hold off on to it until the end of the season. Because you're right. To me, the goal is a division title is great, and a division title is an achievement, but you're right. Nobody goes home and you don't write home about...
How good
is
champagne going to taste when you're swept in the next round?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You're not going to... That's not going to... Does that division title mean anything if you lose in the first round of the ALDS?
Not a damn thing.
That's more my point than anything. And if you're okay with it and you like it, enjoy it. And if that's your team, enjoy that celebration, because if they don't, you're right. There are teams they'll never experience that, and teams that struggle to get to those moments, and you want to enjoy them. But it's just not my thing. That's all. That's all it is. We had fun at Woodcroft's expense, and Logo hated every second of it. That's not true. I enjoyed every second of it. Logo's favorite part of Bambi was when the deer died.
Mama
That's died. Not true. Logan's the guy that shows up at children's birthday parties and yells at them for having too much fun. That's not true either. Look what you've started, Alex. This is all your fault. This is your fault, Alex. I blame you for this.
Classic deflection.
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah. Great job today, Alex.
Thank you.
Top notch.
Thank you.
Really great job. That's what you want to talk about. Brought to you by our friends at Calgary Lock and Safe. The hunting season gun safe sale is on now. Save up to $600 on Braun EV Series gun safes. Visit CalgaryLockandSafe.com. Promote this one more time before we get out of here for today. We are doing an auction to support our friends at Kidsport Calgary and the Eric Francis Pizza Pig Out, a 16-seat suite for the game on Saturday night at McMahon Stadium between the Stampeders and the Toronto Argonauts. Four parking passes along with it. Some food to enjoy at the game. Nachos, chicken wings, popcorn, that kind of stuff. You got a private bathroom right off the suite. All that sort of stuff. There's drink service there if you want to have a couple bevvies at the game as well. All of this going to support our friends at Kidsport Calgary. Our current bid for this is sitting at $1,500 from Matt. Matt, thanks very much for that bid. Really do appreciate it. We'd like to raise as much money for this as possible. If you're able to beat Matt's bid of $1,500, you can give us a call at 403-240-4444. The auction is only open today. We're doing it during Sportsnet today, which is coming to an end here in the next 10, 15 minutes or so. If you wanted to get a call in, we'd still take it. Or if you want to wait until this afternoon, Pat's going to continue this auction just after 4 o'clock when Flames Talk gets underway. It's a Calgary Flames game day tonight. They're taking on the Edmonton Oilers from the Scotiabank Saddledome. That means we'll have Flames pregame at 6. Flames Radio back on your airwaves at 7 with Derek Wills and Peter Labardius on the call. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll be back tomorrow on a Thursday. This has been Sportsnet Today on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.